still the best, now for more than 12 years. Is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
So what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about which panel do you want to talk about first?
Okay, so I was thinking back today. We saw a lot of neat things, but most of all, it really reminds me what I love about being a fan. I can feel jaded sometimes, or I can feel like I really don't care about what's going down. But there are things in the fandom that just make me realize how much I love being a Transformers fan, and stuff like the TFCC. Or the TFC panel and the Hasbro brand panel really sort of, it just really sticks out as something that it's like, this is why I love Transformers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a team
it's
of people
to get excited about.
Yeah. You have a team of people at Hasbro who really put love and care into the stuff that they do. And people give them crap. I mean, fans give them crap. I mean, and people have stupid, unrealistic expectations of what Hasbro can and should do. But when it boils down to it, they love Transformers. You can tell they love Transformers.
They wouldn't be doing this if they did not have a love for the property.
Yeah, I mean, it's comprised of Transformers fans.
Yeah. I mean, and especially nowadays when it's been going on so long, and the internet involvement has been going on so long that it's kind of hard for them not to.
You can't separate it.
Right. There's no way not to include Transformers fans into Hasbro's staff on the brand.
Exactly. But let's see here. The first panel that we went to, what was the first panel?
You guys said it on IDW.
Oh yeah,
so
on
IDW panel, yeah.
We're actually going
to
be.
Sadly, Amy's not here to like really go over that for us.
The biggest one was the tease, right, for Primus, right?
Yeah,
That was. I guess it
more than meets the eye.
It appears that they're going to merge the more than meets the eye RID timelines or something like that, and Primus is going to show up. And,
yeah,
that's going to happen in August.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly, and then July. So they didn't really talk about too much of that. So they'll probably hear more about that at Comic-Con. Regeneration 1 is July, as well as Decepticon month is also in July. I don't know how they're going to do Dinobot month and Decepticon month, but they're all going to be. But there will be the Dinobots will appear in all of the series across all of their series, including Generation 1, More Than Meets the Eye, and RID. So that'll be interesting. I think it was cool to see. Despite Chris Metzen's Autocracy series is not really well received right now, but it seems like he's passionate about what he does. It's received, but not well received.
Atrocity?
Yes, Atrocity.
I've paid for every single issue.
But it's cool to see. Chris Metzen actually does seem to care, and he seems a little. He might seem a little taken aback that most didn't really care too much because they were like it was kind of a forced cheer when they said, "Hey, everybody loves Autocracy, right?" And they said, "Yay!" A little whimper.
Yeah. We saw there's going to be a Dinobot month, like you said. That's going to be cool. You mentioned Regeneration. Furman went into the fact that he's going to sort of pull from all of the different. He says it is first and foremost. It's a sequel or a continuation of the U.S. Comic series, but you have to go to the well, G2 and the UK comic and all of these things that we've seen. All of that can really tie together into what his vision is for this series. So that'll be cool.
Not to mention Simon Furman is really happy to tell you that once he killed someone, they're dead.
I hate that.
Too. Only in his series, though, obviously.
So, so when someone dies in Furman's run on Regeneration 1, what you're saying is that it's over, finished.
Yeah.
In his series, yeah. Exactly. It won't take over Red or More Than Meets the Eye.
So this state of affairs is hovering like a vast predatory bird over Furman's series.
Right here, if you're watching the video, you see that Steve is transforming Cliff Jumper.
Well, not transforming. Just
he's just playing with dynamic poses.
Yeah, he's fiddling with Deluna's Cliff Jumper.
Yeah, hey John. Hey, the thing about it, regeneration is supposedly going to be limited to a certain number of issues.
100.
Yeah.
It's going to hit 100.
So, unless it sells really well. But the thing is, I really like that they go to great lengths sometimes to bring characters back in ways that don't necessarily, or ways that stretch, you know, expectations or, suspended disbelief. But, you know, it is what it is. The one thing that we learned, and Jim had mentioned this earlier last week, Jim Sorensen, is that IDW is going to be producing his next book, like the previous books. It's a collaboration between he and Bill Forrester. They are doing a collection of G1 and G2 box art. So it'll span G1, Japanese G1, G2, and he's going to try his best to get as much Euro stuff in it as possible. So, me too.
No, I mean, it's going to be an interesting resource to have available, and some of that box art's really cool. It'll be nice to have a collected volume of that, where you don't either go for like online instruction archive or box art archive. Stop that. Or
no, but you're not picking up, so it would help.
Eat the mic, XP.
But no, I mean, to have that in a book you can have sitting on a bookshelf. I hope it will be able to include like the battle scenes from the back of the packaging.
Yeah, it will.
I think. I wouldn't expect any less from Jim Sorensen.
I mean, that's some of the best part of G1 toy packaging from year to year is the battle scene on the back of the boxes. You know, and I mean, some of it's crazy, but it's so cool looking.
They were toy accurate.
Yeah. Yes, XV, it is. Notice how I'm speaking into the microphone.
What? I'm talking into the microphone.
No, you're not.
Eat it.
Eat it, XV. You know how to eat it.
You eat it.
Thank you.
Your mom eats it.
She does.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, this is going to be done similar to the... Oh, hey, I've been up. I got like 2.5-3 hours sleep. We all did.
And it's 10 o'clock right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock for me. Actually, it's 11 o'clock for me in the real world.
It feels like 10 o'clock for me.
So this is going to be based in a format similar to the ARC. It's not going to have a narrative around it or all of the creative stuff that AllSpark Almanac has, which is cool because it makes it like a real resource.
Like an art book.
Like an art book. Or even more than an art book, it makes it just as a reference book.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
And I think what's the most important information is that if you have any original, not scanned, G1, G2, US, UK, or Euro, or Japan,
especially Euro.
If you have those, please get in contact with Jim Sorensen.
I think he specifically, we'll know more tomorrow because we're actually speaking to Jim, and I'm assuming Bill, but we're interviewing them tomorrow, and we'll have that up later on in the week. But they are specifically looking for the art, so
yeah.
not scans of the boxes, which I mean I'm certain they may have to resort to, but they're really calling out to the collectors of Transformers art, of which there are many
who have the original copies, like the original production art for the box arts.
So no reproductions, just original versions, to contact them. I think there is an email address.
And in that case, I mean
the Transformers
no
arc at yahoo.com.
Transformers the arc.
Transformers the arc.
It's no one.
They're trying to get the original artist to, you know, provide some background data on background stories about the art.
Yeah, that would be great. I have a copy of the complete arc. I didn't actually get the two individual books, but I love it. I can just look at it for hours on end. It's just a great resource. And, you know, it doesn't have the density of stuff in it that AllSpark Almanac has, but
it's rare to find a book like AllSpark Almanac that's so densely, lovingly put together on one narrow subject like that.
Yeah, but they're two different things. The arc, tries to be like a definitive collection of the character models, and the Allspark Almanac is basically a work of art and fiction and reference all put together in one just wonderful magical thing.
And all the little extras to drive Chris McFeely up the wall.
Yeah.
That's important too.
Well, they purposely added in there.
Oh yeah, like, I know.
You know.
Yes.
What would WWCMD, right?
Yeah, WWCMD. That sounds like a conference, actually.
It probably is.
So, every BotCon has, like voice actors panels. You really don't learn anything. It's just a chance for people who've never been to one to ask people how to get into voice acting. Mm-hmm. And this one was really, the ones that we had today were really no different. So,
yeah, I mean, it's entertaining if you're like really fans of the people who are on the panel.
What did Buster Jones say? Someone said that it's a tradition for the voice actor to go pretend as if the character they performed is going through the drive through. And his response was, why? Which is the right response.
It is the right response. That is a good question. Appreciate that.
I did find it interesting that I can't pronounce his last name, but the voice actor for G1 Bumblebee.
Dan Gilvezan.
Yeah, a female trans fan gave him a needle pin doll of him or Bumblebee.
That's kind of creepy.
And he said that was very, it's very nice and very, he's like, very, what was it, the word, Steve? He said it was unreal. He said it was unreal, which I think might have been code for that's really creepy.
Yeah.
But I believe he also said that it was creepy and cool at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
some of the best stuff is, yeah, really.
I read his book and actually then listened to the audio book version of it on Audible. I didn't think I really needed to go to this.
Well, like you said, you know, voice actor panels are for people who have never been.
Yeah. My first BotCon, that was the thing that I remember best. And if you have some sort of, okay, so if you have been in the fandom long enough, or if you're part of a website or a community, sometimes you can send like special code to the, the voice actors, or, hey, can you call, give me a shout out or something. And Michael Bell does a really good job of that. But so sometimes if, like, Michael Bell's there, he's going to say something crazy. Gary Chalk and David Kay actually went really blue today.
Oh, my.
So that was definitely worth hearing. But you really didn't get any bit of news or information or insight.
We did get a lot of news.
What?
David Kay said he was invited to do a special episode.
Oh, yeah.
Two episodes.
That is true. And we also learned that David Kay actually gave Gary Chalk his demo reel, and that's sort of how he got into voice.
No
acting.
Kidding.
Yeah, they lived about six houses down from each other. Yeah. They were neighbors.
No kidding. That's fantastic.
Canada.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Canada is just a small town north of here.
Right. It only spans two city blocks. Yeah. It only spans two city blocks is what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's cool to hear.
I thought that was neat.
That's cool to know.
So I guess
no wonder they're such good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next panel that I attended, I skipped the Derek J. Wyatt panel. I mean, I love all.
Sorry, Derek, we love you, but.
Yeah.
We needed lunch.
It was just not.
We were running on fumes at that point.
And, you know, it's Derek J. Wyatt was one part of Transformers Animated. He was, he had one piece of it.
And I mean, his contribution was important.
It was hugely important.
What it was, but. It's not all about him.
Yeah, I mean, if it was Derek J. Wyatt and Marty Eisenberg together, that would have been great.
That would be fantastic. I mean, I think you'd get a lot of new insight. There would always be something new to pull out of that, I think.
Yeah, so we actually, the panel that we were most interested in was the Transformers Club.
Yeah.
And the cool thing, okay, so right off the bat, Brian Savage apologized again for all of the stuff that went down with the credit card.
But at the same time, continued to deflect.
Well, yeah, I mean, he made it very clear that it's circumstances beyond their control.
Except for it wasn't.
Well, that's
ISP does not block.
It's dead.
That.
That's a debate for another day. That's in the past. It's done.
Right, but I just want to. I mean,
yeah, I know. We went through the Peter.
That's a sore spot in my regard. But yeah, I mean, he did address it full force and right in front of everybody's faces. Yeah. So you got to give him. You got to give him a little bit of that.
He diffused that before it could come up of its own volition.
Yeah, and it would have. And I hope for everyone's sake that it's dead. Nobody talks about it again.
This is over with now
because they made up for it with the subscription service.
And I think the highest thing that you should say, the subscription service is great. Sorry, the air went on. It kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, it does.
So the thing that actually
it feels good actually.
It actually feels really good. What I felt was really great about that is that they're upgrading their back end. So they'll actually have a great functional back end. And you'll be able to buy stuff and see your orders, and you don't have to call them anymore. Right. You know, that's really great. I think that's really fantastic.
It's something they've needed for a long time.
Yeah, but
it'll help their customer service a lot.
Which is fantastic. It brings them up to the basic expectations of the 20th century, 21st century.
But, I was going to say, we're retail. A few years past that, but
well,
I agree with you anyway.
That wasn't semi-intentional, but the 21st century,
late 20th century, e-commerce,
but
staples.
But the thing is, I don't care. I could have to mail them a check or chisel out a stone tablet. There's a freaking subscription service, and
yeah,
I love them.
Talk about that instead.
Yeah, let's talk about the subscription service. I think that's actually pretty cool.
I love it.
I'm actually as a person who hasn't purchased toys for quite a while. Yeah. I'm actually kind of excited about this.
Yeah, so the first one that we saw was a G1 breakdown.
Yes. Using the new head tooling the club has that they use on G2 breakdown in 2010.
Yes. And it looks great.
Yeah, it does.
On a classic sideswipe body.
Yeah, it's the exact same toy. Yeah,
just a different decor.
It's color matched to G1. They did a really good job with that. I mean, it's all you could really expect from a classics G1 breakdown at this point.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Loves it. The next one that we got was Jackpot.
We'll go with that. Animated Jackpot.
Yeah.
Well, it was Jackpot. It was G1 Jackpot with animated jazz.
Well, I took it to be that it was meant to be an animated character since it's often animated mold. Although, if you're going to pick an animated mold to co-opt into a classic setting, that's probably your best.
He's a good stand-in.
They didn't have the new head shown in the mock-up, but Pete did let slip a little later on. It was expected to have a new head sculpt on that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just going to look like animated jazz.
Yeah. But yeah, really cool. Excited about that. The third that I remember seeing off the top of my head was Circuit.
Circuit was a recolor of movie Axor, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Which can you get on? It's very fitting because the original Circuit that this is based on was a recolor of Action Master Axor. So, I mean, they're kind of keeping the cycle up that way.
Yeah, so let's see here. We're looking for the
pictures.
We love
our Action Master references for sure.
Higher.
We're looking right now on tformers.com for the full list of the subscription service items.
The other one. Slipstream.
That was a huge surprise.
So it was Transformers Prime Starscream mold with Slipstream. First edition Starscream with Slipstream colors from Transformers Animated.
And
a brand new head.
Yeah.
So
They said was only represented as a CGI construct on the mock-up right now.
Right. It was just a mock-up.
High heels.
High heels, which were already there.
Yeah.
I mean, he already had high heels. He was already feminine enough as it was. I mean, you know, very slender man.
For the minimum of work, this is really the best mold to make a Slipstream out of.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I'm adding it right now. So,
yeah. I think that's really cool. Steve actually was very happy about this one.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was really unexpected. Fans have been asking for some form of Slipstream in some line at some point, ever since animated.
And since we're on, let's go to the next one, and then we'll go backtrack for the others. The next that we saw was Scourge, or it's really Black Convoy.
Yeah. I mean, the only real difference is whether it has the upside down G2 Autobot symbols or Decepticon symbols. You know, I mean, it's the same character essentially. They're calling it Scourge, and they threw those symbols on just like they did in the G2 BotCon set.
Yeah,
well, just like Rid, right? You're saying that he's straight out from Rid. So,
well, the Rid had the
Rid toy.
Symbols.
Yeah, the Rid toy had Decepticon symbols instead of the Combatron logo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, in the cartoon, that was unchanged.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah, that was a Japanese one.
Here's Jackpot. So we get the picture of Jackpot. That's a great representation. And Breakdown, of course, is just the G2 Breakdown. I like Jackpot.
Jackpot's a love him or hate him kind of thing.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Breakdown, of course, is just the G2 Breakdown.
Okay,
the G1 colors.
Are we the big one now? Or
let's see here. After Slipstream, we have down. Well, here's Circuit. Yeah. Circuit.
Nope.
Circuit.
No. Circuit.
We have Circuit, but the biggest one is Ultra Frickin' Mammoth.
Ultra Mammoth.
Beast Wars Neo Big Convoy.
Yes.
In Ultra Magnus colors.
There is one more after this.
I actually knew this was coming. I kind of got handed yesterday, and after thinking about it, I knew that it was going to be something like this. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was going to be Ultra Magnus in some capacity, and it was going to be a repaint of a Convoy toy that we got. We got it in the 90s, and we got it again in the early 2000s. And then I narrowed it down to a couple, and it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that had to go with your, like, Leo Prime from Target. I mean,
yes.
That's the equivalent for that. So, no, I mean, that's pretty cool. And of all the things that they could use that mold for that's not, you know, like a Nemesis Prime or something, it's a good choice.
Yeah.
I think we got one more on the list.
And, of course, we also got Depth Charge.
Which is another one of those things that ever since the Teradive mold was revealed and people could get a good look at the head, they've been wanting Depth Charge done off of that.
And we have a couple other shots.
Well, with your subscription.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get that as part of your subscription package, which we don't know any pricing on that yet.
Yeah, we don't
they
know.
Don't know any pricing
but,
on
but,
that yet.
But what should be said specifically is, I'll let Steve talk about it, but about the membership versus the pass, like purchasing a subscription for the subscription service versus having membership purchase or something.
I got to speak with Pete briefly, and he sort of just mentioned that in order to get guaranteed all six figures, you would have to subscribe. If you wanted to get, you know, only one or two of them, it will be on a
sliding scale.
First come, first serve basis.
First come, first serve basis.
Yeah. And the release schedule is they're attempting two figures per month.
Right.
To save on shipping.
They were trying two figures per month, and you won't know what the figure is until you get it in the mail.
Right. Yeah, they specifically said the first person who gets the figure in the mail will be the one to break the news to the entire world. They are not going to reveal that at any point prior to it arriving in your mail.
There was a lot of discussion on the drive back to the apartment on this. Yeah, that's true. But there's a lot of conjecture, debate back and forth on how much this will cost. Mm-hmm. And we expect, I mean, just...
Well, XV expects about $400.
Well, no, I'm not even saying a price.
Total?
We're not saying $400, but what we expect is that it's going to be on the higher side of your expectations.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because basically a couple of things. One, they don't know how it's going to sell. Mm-hmm. Two, they're pricing it before they know what volume. And so basically they're charging low volume rates for what could end up being probably not a higher volume run.
Right. Basically the way I'm looking at this is most likely this first subscription is going to be kind of high price, and if it's successful enough to continue next year, they will basically accommodate for that and base the pricing a little more accurately from what they got from this year's numbers.
Right. Yeah, right, right. As always, early adopters must pay more, but they get the benefit of being the early adopters.
And then what they also said is that what they're trying to get this all locked in by like the middle of summer, so hopefully they can get things produced and in the mail at the start of next year.
Yeah,
that's their hope. It will probably be a little bit after that, though, honestly.
Yeah, I think.
No, all in all, I was really happy with how the club roundtable panel went down. I mean, there was no like disrespectful questions or angry outbursts like I kind of half expected.
Yeah.
I mean,
which one was it? I'm trying to remember.
No, that was at the Hasbro.
That was Hasbro. Later on. Yeah.
But no, I mean, it all that went really well. I think with the subscription service, they really made a lot of people remember, okay, the club is trying to do good things for us, you know. And you know, it's time to put all the credit card stuff in the past.
Yeah,
we're done with that. It's over with.
Yeah, and they learned their lesson. It was a valuable lesson. And well, hopefully yeah, I mean, that
they're upgrading all their infrastructure because of it. And it's terrible that it had to come to what it did to make that happen.
Absolutely.
But something good has come of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Speaking of moving forward, Hasbro panel.
Nice. Yes. Oh, segue.
Hasbro panel. Hasbro panel.
You have to mention that they already have the 2013 set planned. They already know what characters are going to
be. We knew that, though.
You do?
They already knew it.
It always works that way.
Yeah, they have to. Yeah.
Oh, it was my first panel with them. So
Yeah. They have to know that.
Well, I mean, there's such lead time on getting these things made. They need about a year to make all of it
for the
happen.
Logistics and the supply chain and everything.
It's one of the...
It's okay. Everybody was a noob once.
Yeah, everybody has a first year dealing with all this stuff. Yeah. I just had my first year on the internet, not at the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I had me too back in like 1997.
I think these days everybody has their first time on the internet.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, Hasbro panel.
Okay, Hasbro panel.
Now that we've gone to low depths.
What'd I say?
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. It's fine. It's fine.
So, we got a lot of stuff in the Hasbro panel.
Anyway. Can I have another beer?
Yeah. We need Okay.
So real quickly, the Hasbro panel.
Okay, so basically, the Hasbro panel, we got a rundown of stuff coming out in Prime. I mean, the first bit of the panel was a discussion of the ride for the Universal Studios and things like that. They sort of had to just sort of rush through that to get to the toys for the purpose of... expediting things, so that because I had a lot to show, we got to see quite a few things were coming out in Prime. Yeah. Any big surprises for Prime? I don't remember anything.
The only real thing that was a surprise was they're producing a toy of a prominent character from the Exiles novel.
Yeah.
I actually
semi-prominent maybe.
Well, I guess a lot of people are excited that the Activision Bruticus colors are going to be a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Yeah. I mean, that was...
Generations was really the news.
Right, yeah. Right.
So we got pictures of a new Voyager class size toy, which is a new scale for Generations.
And it's Soundwave. War for Cybertron Soundwave. Which looks almost exactly like the original one, except
it has cassettes. Which are mini data disc, but they're the cassettes.
They're Legends scale, more or less.
Yeah.
And the expansion for that was...
Well, the cool thing... Okay, so two things that are really cool about that.
Yeah.
The cassettes / data discs. One, they're mechanical, so they pop open.
They work like bot shots.
They auto-transform when a trigger on the bottom is hit. Soundwave has the flip-up chest panel.
It ejects them.
They hit the table, and then they pop open into
their... You can fit three of them in there.
Was it three?
Three.
Is that what they said? Three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love three.
They transform like a bot shot, basically.
That means he has no chest.
Actually, they look a lot like Bakugan toys.
So, yeah.
Bakugans are activated by a magnet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's the same general aesthetic.
Yeah, it was cool, too. I saw the guy when he was...
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you saw that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He just kind of like threw it on there, just popped out. It was pretty cool.
The most unexciting part of that was, yay, repaint.
No, that's great. I love that. What do you mean? We're getting an expansion of those toys. We're getting a Ravage. We're getting a Rat-Bat. We're getting
and a Rumble.
And a
Rumble.
And a Sound Blaster.
Oh, that.
Oh, now yeah,
that,
well.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting a new Soundwave.
We're getting a, yeah.
You're getting two new classes of Generations figures, which I kind of figured that would be the only way for them to make that 40 figure mark next year.
Oh, absolutely. I was expecting.
But Sound Blaster has a blaster, sort of blaster-ish paint job.
No,
it was black.
He's black. He's the black Sound Blaster.
I thought it was gold and red.
No,
or gray.
I don't know what you were looking at.
We don't have pictures to refer back to.
No, because photos were forbidden.
Yeah. But yeah, so but Sound Blaster, that's you know that. It was mostly just around.
Okay, we found out what the recolor for War for Cybertron Shockwave is, which is Fireflight.
Yeah.
The big thing with the toys that we already know about is they revealed upcoming weapon gimmicks.
Yeah.
Which it's basically mech tech again, but maybe not done quite as badly.
Yeah. Let's see here. You know, I guess the thing about Generations, we pretty much got information about War for Cybertron.
Yeah.
And that was it. Nothing on really the bulk of what's coming out in 2013. I asked during the Q&A portion what we knew about, like, the breakdown of the eras that would be covered. And we got the expected answer of wait and see.
Yeah.
But one thing we did learn, which I thought was super cool, was that JD took Steve's seat.
No.
They're going to fight.
Yeah, let me get that camera turned.
John, okay. Do you want to come too?
Yeah. Actually, actually.
Now?
Yes.
You going to leave us?
Hey, John.
Yeah.
That's what, actually. Yeah.
Okay, here. Get over here.
Oh, they're in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We have people leaving to do stuff. We're joining them shortly. It's BotCon. JD, tell us what went down. Okay, before we get to the Hall of Fame, the Hasbro panel, the last thing that we really learned that I thought was interesting was that we are getting an MP10 convoy, and it's a Toys R Us exclusive. We assumed that we would, but it's nice to actually see it in person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it looked really nice.
Yeah, I want it. And all the people today that dropped $250, $280 if on that toy, they just...
The one kid, yeah. I saw this one guy actually had it. And afterwards, he pulled up in the bag. He's like, I just bought you.
I came this close. This...
Aren't you glad you waited? From now on, lesson learned, wait after the Hasbro panel.
Wait after the Hasbro panel.
Although it is a Toys R Us exclusive, so you may have some issues finding it.
Okay, so tonight was the Hall of Fame dinner, and JD, tell us what happened.
It was really cool. Food was good, so that's a plus.
That's good, you got fed.
Yeah. There were, of course, they had the presentation of the actual Hall of Fame inductees. There's a paper that's right on the corner of that, if you would hand it to me. Sorry.
Steve is awesome.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. I'll actually show
model it. Dude, come over here, model. Yeah, Steve, model. Here.
So here's your Hall of Fame card. It has all of the inductees on it. So for the
and the lovely Steve is showing it right here.
But
I was going to actually go. So cool. I can't remember all
very
that.
Nice. Very nice.
So thank you so much.
Steve is awesome.
So first of all, it was really nice for Chris Lotta. They had a really great tribute video.
I was going to make a joke. I'm not going to make a joke. Wrong time to make a joke.
It was a really great tribute video. He was given a standing ovation. Of course, his daughter accepted the award on his behalf.
Chris Lotta.
It was really nice. It was really cool. The other one is Simon Furman. So they had another pretty cool video for him.
Yay.
And he talked. And gave a little speech. It actually ended with a couple of his Furmanisms. So
yeah, usually those videos.
For me personally, it never ends.
I wish I could remember now. It was my time here has come to an end, and something else.
Usually those videos are quite humorous. They're quite fun.
They were. There was a great part about how like the enthusiasm they brought to the line, and at that particular part, there was a picture of Simon with a cactus on his head. So there was a lot of funny stuff, especially in Simon's video. The inductee video were okay. They were kind of. I mean, the Grimlock video, of course, it was kind of interesting because they had a lot of course, G1 Grimlock. And the Fall of Cybertron Grimlock. And, of course, everybody was going nuts for the footage of the fall Cybertron Grimlock. The Jazz video...
War for Cybertron. Fall of Cybertron.
Fall of Cybertron. Space.
Keep forgetting.
The Jazz video was pretty cool. They had a nice... I mean, they showed animated Jazz. They showed G1 movie... you know, really showed a nice cross.
It's very similar. Yeah. They always go through all the generations. Yeah.
Was Grimlock a fan choice? Was Grimlock up for a fan choice nomination in the past?
Last year he was.
Yeah, Jazz was.
They were both.
Shockwave,
they both were last year.
Shockwave was. Yeah. I think.
Shockwave was last year as well.
Yeah.
They all lost to Waspinator.
Yeah.
Oddly
yeah.
enough, Shockwave was the Shockwave's video was mostly Shock Blast. it was a lot of G1 Shockwave pointing and transforming once, because if you think about it, in the G1 cartoon, he wasn't...
That's all he did.
He didn't do very much. So they had a lot of Shock Blast video.
That's fine.
But the big thing that happened at the end of the Shockwave video was a clip from Transformers Prime in which Starscream introduces Shockwave.
Holy crap.
To the Autobots.
No kidding. Yes.
So that was very cool.
Wow.
And totally out of left field.
Yeah.
So there's been no toy indication, nothing from the show.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the entire room was floored. I mean, we didn't even know what to say after that.
Can you describe what he looked like?
He looked like...
Eat the mic, JD. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Eat the mic, buddy.
I mean, it was a real quick shot, but it was definitely Shockwave. I mean, purple, cycloptic. I mean, it was no question. So,
yeah.
So it was classic. The fan choices were, I'm trying to run through now, Rodimus, Wheeljack, there were two.
Your characters. Mom.
Your mom. Beast Wars, Megatron, and... one other. I can't remember. Anyway, Wheeljack ended up winning.
Yay? I don't get that.
And Wheeljack's video was... It was really hit and miss. They would show... Like, for instance, on Rodimus's video, they showed a lot of Rodimus from Cybertron. But on Wheeljack's video, it was just G1 Wheeljack and Prime. So none of him from Cybertron. It was very odd. So I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. The other fan,
because it was the wrong Wheeljack.
Skybite.
It's the wrong Wheeljack.
Skybite was the other fan nominee. But
right, they can't show the Armada version. It's the wrong Wheeljack.
It doesn't matter.
That was not the same.
They didn't show a movie either. But I mean, that's technically supposed to be Wheeljack, but it's not. So
fake Wheeljack. Still.
So. But that was your winners. It was really cool. Aaron Archer talked. You know, and kind of oversaw the whole thing. So, and then they passed out these really nice cards to everybody that was there. So,
very cool.
Really cool. It was really nice.
Very
cool. The Shockwave thing, though, was just,
yeah.
I mean, I cannot describe the feeling when that came across
that's
the screen.
Cool.
So,
I'm jealous.
You enjoyed that? Did you enjoy the Hall of Fame ceremony?
It was cool. How was the meal?
It was good. It sort of felt swanky. And of course the dress was like all over the board. I mean, you had people in t-shirts and jeans all the way up to like, you know, tuxedo.
You're supposed to be, you know,
when we were driving outside, we saw some people in, you know, like cocktail dresses
and all of those people were with it. I mean, there was also the chiropractors convention or something. And there were several people dressed up for that as well, but.
And hookers, they're hookers.
There were
too.
Some prostitutes there as well.
Yeah.
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 No.
Sure.
No.
Okay. That's so, awesome. That's
it was
awesome.
Great.
Okay.
It was really cool. Okay. I'm glad I went. I almost didn't go, and I'm really glad I went.
So I guess tonight is the last sort of live from Dallas recap of BotCon. We'll probably have another tomorrow. We're going to be shooting some live interviews, and we'll post those later on in the week. And Thursday, when we do the show live, we'll do a full and proper recap of what went on at BotCon. It'll be a BotCon extravaganza. So it's been really cool, like actually being with you guys and actually seeing you in person. Of course, you know, but Peter and I are old hat, but JD, this is the first time I've seen you in like 12 years.
Well, I mean, you're sort of our fans too, like, you know, Primus Prankster. We got
Primus, lots of people. Oh, that's it's been great. It's been great meeting all these people that, you know, love and watch the show. You know, we've met a lot of people.
I got to meet Peter Cullen.
You got to meet Peter Cullen.
Yeah.
Not to mention we met XV.
We met XV.
Yeah, I mean XV as well.
And we met the...
He smelled very... It smelled a lot less than I really expected.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, with that being said, it's BotCon. It's a chance to get together. So we're actually running now to one of my favorite BotCon events, which is karaoke.
That sounds like fun.
So we are going to sign off. We'll be back Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern time, as per normal. So, you know, seriously, thank you very much for watching, and we will be back next week. Thanks, and thanks to Steve here for doing coverage and for being on.
Oh, no problem. It's been a while since I've been interacting with the fan community, but I hope to do more of it, get back into it.
Very cool. Very cool.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. You're awesome. Awesome. Well, people, thanks for watching. We'll be back. Have a good one.
Roll out.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.